is after them, but it's Fahin who's barely clear up the hill, and he is a machine. Fahin maintains his unbeaten record, and it's a treble for Willie Mullins and Ruby Walsh. Fahin's a champion. Artie Forrest.
Hello and a very warm welcome to the Countdown to Cheltenham series. It's week one of nine, back by popular demand, Ruby Walsh and Rory De Largy looking ahead to the greatest show on turf. Now, if you're listening to this as a podcast, you can watch it on YouTube. There's a brand new Paddy Power Racing YouTube channel. We're going to have all of these shows available to you. What we want you to do, subscribe, like and comment. And if you do, you'll go into the draw for a fee-free even 50 quid bet. So do check that out. There's going to be loads of brilliant content on the Paddy Power Racing YouTube channel. Right now, we're going to talk all things Cheltenham. Delighted, Rory, Ruby are here. Lads, are you looking forward to Cheltenham? Is it too early to say that?
Is the Pope a Catholic?
Is the Pope a Catholic? Indeed. So Rory, I'm going to ask you first. What are your thoughts on the national season so far?
There's this feeling that everything's yet to start, isn't there? There's been a couple of big highlights, Constitution Hill being the obvious one on this side of the... my side of the pond, I should say, bearing in mind where I am, but just a feeling that everything is even more geared towards Cheltenham this year than in previous years. A few horses going straight there. Everything's just beginning to boil up, but we haven't hit a peak yet, and we know when that's coming.
You know, hashtag straight to Cheltenham is starting to trend, isn't it, I suppose. We still, of course, have the Dublin Racing Festival to come. Ruby, I guess we have to start. We're recording not long after a certain Davy Russell came back. We spoke on the podcast at the weekend. You said you weren't surprised by it. If Jack Kennedy had broken his leg in October, do you think that Davy would have come back?
I think he would have retired. He didn't retire until Christmas.
Fair enough.
I think he wouldn't have retired had he broke his leg in October. Would be the simple way of answering that. Didn't surprise me. He's back. He rode a winner. Moving on.
You think he'd be around... You've obviously had so many injuries, and you don't know the specifics of Jack's injury. 6 weeks for a broken leg in two places, is that on the money, is it, for Cheltenham?
He's an incredible man, but that will be incredible.
Yeah.
But look, I hope it happens for him. He's a talented young rider. He definitely adds to a Cheltenham Festival, so does Davy Russell. But, you know, just when you say about the season, has it got going? Is it all building towards Cheltenham? I tend to probably disagree with you both. I think it has got going.
Yeah,
from a Plutarch being run over at Haydock, what happened there? You forget about that. You had Honeysuckle losing her unbeaten run at Fairy House. That Morgiana there, Manhattan's Grace Day even, was an incredible card. I think there's been some great days. I think Kringle Creek was a great race to watch. Edward Stone announcing himself on the scene. I thought it'd be a good race at Christmas. That was great, King George. I think it's going like every other season. There are a couple of horses going straight to Cheltenham. But because they've had hold-ups, what's going straight there? Brandy Love, she hasn't got on the track yet. She's one that's going straight there. Obviously, you have a Plutar who missed his engagement at Christmas with a knock joint, but he's only following the same pattern as last year then, going from Christmas, he ran, not run, to Cheltenham. So I think a lot has been made and a hashtag has been created, but I don't see the same massive amount of differences as other people.
And of course, Dublin Racing Festival kind of kicks up another notch.
Yeah, it does. And even looking at the Grade 1 entries for that, I couldn't believe people giving out there was only two English entries. Two more than there was last year.
Not really sure what we were expecting.
I'm thinking, really? What do you expect? But I do see a shift in the novice hurdlers in the UK. I think, obviously, you had Constitution Hill last year, but there seems to be more of them this year. And as you have to have bumper horses to have novice hurdlers that make open hurdlers or novice chasers, it is quite cyclical. And there seems to be, to me, the start of a resurgence in the UK. And give it 3-4 years... But when that pendulum balances again, you'll see more English horses at the Dublin Racing Festival. But at the moment, the power still lies on this side of the Irish Sea. So why would the English come? You know, I wait till it balances. But it's not that long ago, I won the Irish Gold Cup on Neptune Collange. Bobsworth won it. But that's not back in the black and white days. You know, so it will come back.
Yeah, Frodon, of course, one up north not too long ago. Right, that's the season as it's going. Let's talk about the Cheltenham Festival, which we're here to do. We're going to start with the Supreme Novice Hurdle. So obviously, Ruby, I'm going to start with you. Before we get to Facile Vega, how many times did you win it?
Four.
Your favourite?
Super. I'll be stuck now. Nolan Dalfroff, Champagne Fever, Vitour, Duvander's five.
You won another one there, well done.
Did I?
So what was your favourite? No, in terms of the last 5 seconds. What was your favourite?
Oh, Classical Dream, sorry.
There you go.
What was my favourite? I wouldn't put one of them out over the others.
Really?
I think when you go to Cheltenham with a lot of pressure, I was in a very fortunate position that I was riding for Paul and Willie, so there was huge expectation on you going to Cheltenham. And if you could bag the first, it did make it an easier couple of days. And that's a theory that Barry Geraghty would subscribe to as well. Winning the Supreme just does tend to make the whole thing a little bit more enjoyable, whereas if you're hanging on for Thursday or Friday trying to ride a winner, that expectation, that pressure mounts. So if you can just... Like scoring an early goal, isn't it?
Yeah, I know. Well, I don't know. The tactics of the Supreme, you kind of made the running, dictated the pace maybe, and were on the pace a lot during the Supreme. I'd love to know, do jockeys, such a huge race, do you actually talk about tactics down at the post ahead of such a big race?
No, look, you might in a maiden hurdle or maybe in a run-of-the-mill handicap midweek, but at the Cheltenham Festival, if you're lining up at the start and you kind of have to ask somebody else what they're going to do, you haven't really done your homework. Like, we could sit here, myself and Rory, not riding in either race, and pretty much put a shape on how the race will be run. So you'd be expecting the guys that are riding in it, and ladies, to know what's going to happen. Now, they might one spring out of left field and do something completely different, but you should be able to put a shape on the race in your own head without asking anybody's opinion. That's only forming tactics, knowing the horse you're riding against, knowing the horse you're riding. But you should know that. You shouldn't be. And if you're going to the start, you might be having idle conversation as to what somebody's going to do. But, like, when I was asked, do you honestly think you're going to be told the truth?
Yeah. I was going to say, were you ever asked by another jockey?
What,
like,
are you doing?
What are you going to do in Classical Dream there, Ruby?
Handy. Yeah, like, you know what I mean? Ask, you know what I mean? If you don't know what I'm going to do, you haven't watched this horse run, therefore, I'm at an advantage already because you've no homework done.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, there's no conversation.
Kind of sort of a mini psych-out, I suppose. You could do the double bluff asking what you're going
to
do.
But I didn't, because I never asked because I didn't expect to be told the truth. Yeah. And if you actually... And did answer, I always told the truth, because most people thought you were lying.
Fair enough. Well, we're not going to be lying today. We're going to be hopefully finding a few winners. We have to start with a hot favourite. 8-11 as we record on Monday morning. Facile Vega for the Supreme. Right, Ruby, how is he, I suppose, the first thing? And what did you make of his win in the Paddy Power Future Champions?
I thought he was very good in Fairy House in a pretty bog-standard maiden hurdle. He couldn't have been any more impressive than he was. We know how good he was as a bumper horse last season. David Porter rides him every morning at home. He's very happy with him. He looks well. I thought he was workmanlike more than spectacular at Dublin, at Leopardstown at Christmas. But he got the job done. And he made a mistake or two. I was glad to see him do that. He'll improve for that. I don't really love to see novices go there absolutely foot perfect, because somewhere along the way they're going to get it wrong. You like to see them have made a mistake and learned how to deal with it before they get there. He made two at Christmas. He'll have learned from that himself. He'll improve from it. And knowing Willie, the horse will improve too. So he'll have had him ready enough to win his maiden hurdle. He'll have improved a little bit to Christmas. He'll have him better again by the Dublin Racing Festival with the aim of being better by March. So, look, he's doing everything Willie has asked him to do. But I wouldn't think he's near turning the screw on him yet.
Fair enough. Willie's won it, I think, about 6 times. How do you rate him amongst Willie's previous winners?
I don't know. I never sat on him. And a lot of them were different horses. Champagne Fever was a stayer. Ebizayan was out of left field. Tourist Attraction was before my time. Duvan was a very fat, much faster horse than Vatour, who was a galloper. Classical Dream, he was more in the Vatour mould. He was a high cruising speed pace horse who didn't have a turn of foot. Duvan had the turn of foot. What does Facile Vega look like to me? Probably more Classical Dream, Vatour, Champagne Fever mould, in that he's a huge cruising speed without having an electric turn of foot.
Interesting. I'll get back to you on Supreme winners regarding kind of stayers. But Rory, I want to bring you in because 8-11 we're talking about. 8-11 in January for the Supreme Novice Hurdle. Put yourself maybe in the bookmaker mould or, like, I mean... Bookies are going to take him on, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's the first race of the week. And the one thing that you want to do as a bookmaker, whether you're a big firm or whether you're standing on the rails or you're a small independent, you want to get people punting with you from the first race, because then they're going to come back to you. Yep. Whether they win or lose, you're going to get that money back. Are you certainly going to get customers coming to you if you offer a decent price or you offer a good concession in the first race? And I think the concession days are kind of not quite over, but the crazy days have gone. Yeah. So the one thing the bookmakers will do is they'll try to get him, because any on-course bookmaker will tell you you can afford to take a chance and push them out half a point, whatever it happens to be. If punters back a winner in the first race, you've got another six races that day to get it back, and then you've got three more days after that. So it's not a disaster for a bookmaker if they go under in the first race. And punters with money in the pockets tend to spend the money that's in the pockets as well.
They do. There'll be many anti-post podcasts and shows out there. I'd be fairly confident not a single one is going to advise Pascal Vega at 8-11 as an anti-post wager. What kind of price, assuming all the big names turn up, would you think he might go off with that in mind, with the bookies trying to get? Would it be even bigger than that, potentially?
Yes. I mean, if you look historically at horses who have had outstanding claims, I mean, obviously there's a chance that something's going to come from left field. Whoever wins at the Dublin Racing Festival, potentially, you never really know where they're going to come from. But there's a possibility of that. I think with the two-milers, you get a better picture of who's going to be the major players at this stage. Less so over 3 miles, obviously. But the example that I was bringing up is Big Bucks, who was anti-post about 4-9, 1-2 for the Stayers Hurdle. And he traded odds against every year he won that.
Every year?
Every year. Traded at least evens in the ring at some stage. Sometimes it was late morning and then he was backed.
Yeah.
But, you know, because people are there from 11 o'clock in the morning and bookmakers will try to, you know, get them to have a few early bets before they get on the Guinness. And he had even money, certainly 1 year when he really should have been very, very short. And he was odds against, I mean, he was quite a big price the first year he won it, actually.
He'd
beaten Punchestown's, and then obviously a few people thought, you know, on the old weights and measures, he might be done for that. But so it shows that the anti-post prices are, you know, no one really wants to take that price and no one really wants to lay that price. I mean, if you could lay that price, you'd be delighted to do it. But it's there for show. It's there to show that you're betting on the race, rather than people trying to make a book at that stage. Whereas once we get into the festival itself, it's a different kettle of fish.
Apart from the price then, where are the flaws with Pascal Vega?
There aren't any obvious flaws with him. I suppose statistically, it's unusual for a champion bumper winner to win the Supreme.
Which will probably surprise a lot of people.
Yeah, because it seems a really obvious thing. Same with, you'd expect a Supreme winner to go on and win a champion hurdle, and it never happens. And similarly, Champion Fever did it, but you know, you wouldn't have been back in Champion Fever at any point in the Supreme until the...
Or in the race.
Well, the day before the race, there was a bit of a buzz that he was declared, yeah, which was a surprise to many people. And then there was a bit of a rumour going around the track that he was well-fancied and he was ready to run for his life. I think he would have been 16s at the weekend before that, and there was money for him on the track. And I would say... You won't see many finer rides. I don't want to be blowing smoke here, but just an absolutely tremendous ride from the front to get him home, because he wouldn't have had the speed of the runner-up. The runner-up would win that 9 times out of 10, I think, if you run that race again and put random jockeys on the horses in question. So Champion Fever was the first since Montelato in 93 to do that. So there is that stat against him. But then again, a lot of champion bumper horses have either not turned up for whatever reason or they've gone to the Ballymoor. So I suppose the question then is, well, he will stay 2.5 miles, there's no doubt about it. On pedigree, he will. Is staying 2.5 miles a negative for a Supreme horse? Well, it might be in a small field, tactically run Supreme. In a strongly run Supreme, we've often seen horses who end up being Gold Cup horses coming to the fore, and you need to be able to gallop all the way to the line there. But the last two Supremes, of course, have been single-figure fields, which would have been unheard of even 10 years ago. So there must be a chance I'm going to have another smallish field Supreme, and that might mean that something with a real turn of foot from the last could put it up to him. Because as Ruby says, he's got a very high cruising speed. Whether he's able to quicken off that at the end, he's not had to, really. And maybe that's the raw speed that he has will carry him all the way through. But possibly, in a tactical race, something with a turn of foot, maybe a Marine National, could do him. But you're hunting a little bit for negatives. As Ruby said, he made a couple of errors. I probably didn't touch a hurdle, actually. He reached for a couple. As Ruby says, you'll learn. I completely agree there. I'm always wary of horses who've been brilliant, either over fences or over hurdles, not touch the twig, because something's bound to happen. And the question is, when they do make a little bit of a mistake, if it's in the big arena and they've not made a mistake before, not many horses will be able to get back on an even keel that easily. Learning from mistakes and becoming a more proficient hurdler or chaser is the best way of learning, and horses like that tend to be able to deal with making a mistake or you know, having to go short or whatever in a race like this. So I was glad to see that he did something he learned from. He did wander around a little bit before the fourth, but I think horses tend to do that. I have a feeling it's something to do with the camera truck or whatever. They just get a bit distracted by it. And he had a little bit of a wander. He had a bit of a wander in his debut as well at one of the hurdles, about halfway.
I'm just thinking, so he jumped the last hurdle in Nipperstown, it's on the running rail, running rail around to the second and the third, and we turn into the back straight, it becomes an island hurdle with no running rail on the inside, which is actually a good thing because when he faces down the hill and Cheltenham away from the stands, that third hurdle is also an island hurdle. So it's just on its own in the green grass. And yeah, I would say that's your reason.
Yeah,
well, there you go. Enough. Okay, so look, Vasyl Vega, 8 to 11. We'll get back to whether you fancy he's the likely winner. I'm sure lots of people do. The Moscow Flyer was run yesterday. We recorded, as I said, on the Monday. Was run yesterday at Punchestown. This is a race that Willie has won with, as we know, the likes of supreme winners, Duvan Vautour. In Perry Pass won it yesterday, Ruby. You were there. Pretty impressive.
He was really impressive. I thought he showed a good turn of foot. He beat the Model Kingdom. Didn't think it was a frantically run race. I think the mare in front of Gordon's, she could be anything, didn't attack her hurdles, whereas Imperial Pass getting the lead was all the time jumping by her. He jumped brilliantly, he quickened up really well, had a look at the last and gave it a bit of height, and he was too good for the Model Kingdom, which to be a Grade 1 novice hurdler, he would have to have been. He thought he was really impressive, but I just wouldn't assume he goes supreme after watching it. Michael Dagenet also won that race and went Ballymore. So he's a relaxed individual. He looks like he'd be an easy horse to ride, be it two and a half. He's a great way of going. And I'd say his destination is up in the air now.
Yeah.
His target, even.
We're going to get into Willie Mullins' head a lot over the next 9 weeks, which is probably not a weird place. Well, we're going to try.
We're going to try to get in.
We might get it wrong.
I think that'll be a scary place to be.
A very scary place to be. Can I or can we assume these two will not run in the same race, Vasyl Vega and Perry Pass?
No, you couldn't. And you also have, obviously, the horses he has for the middle distance race, Champ Kylie, etc., and what he has for the Albert Bartlett. So, no, you can't assume that those two won't run in the same race.
Different owners, of course.
Different owners. And look, even with Simon Muneer and Isaac Suede also having Daryl Jacob available to them, it's not as simple as just splitting them for Paul Townend. So, it'll be interesting to see where they go. But like Imperial Pass already has won over 2 miles and 3 furlongs. He's shown he has a bit of stamina. That was an ace. 2 hurdles bypassed as well in that occasion, an ace, which to me always makes races more stamina laden, especially when they're the second last and the last. More galloping, less jumping. So I would say stamina is no problem to him.
Okay. Before we move on to the British Challenge, what else could Willie potentially run here, Ruby?
He let that Tomp, I would have thought, was one who chased home Vasyl Vega at Leopardstown at Christmas, and obviously then what comes out of the Dublin Racing Festival, whatever he chooses to run in that 2 mile novice hurdle, you know, providing they get close enough or they look like they have a reason to maybe turn the form with Vasyl Vega, whoever wins at the Dublin Racing Festival. Some may, not too many of them will have enough runs to qualify for handicaps, so that won't be an option for too many of them. But yeah, look, a lot will depend on what happens at the Dublin Racing Festival. And I think, like you say, do we look at the English challenge, looking back at Christmas, the biggest challenge could come from within Ireland, but come from Joseph's. And that could be high definition.
We will get to him. A fascinating runner. Where does he go? Let's talk about the British challenge. Tamouros is the only one, as we record, in the top 7 in the betting from Britain. What are your thoughts on him, Rory?
Yeah, there's a couple. Rare Edition is also quite an interesting one there, but he's not guaranteed to be going to the Supreme. He might go to Aintree instead. And he's quite an interesting one who hasn't run in a graded hurdle yet. But Tamouros is essentially the flag bearer. On the figures, he's got plenty to find, even though he's won a Grade 1. You can't rate the Tolworth that highly in terms of if you're judging it by time figures or by collateral form. But there's a strong impression that there's a lot more to come from Tamouros. He was impressive in his previous start, powered away at the end of that at Haydock in a listed hurdle. And I don't think he'd be he was particularly well helped by bad ground at Sandown. You know, a lot of horses finishing very tired that day. Sandown's not a very flattering track often to hurdlers. And he's walked through the last 2 hurdles essentially. And that you can take as a big negative. Can't do that and win at Cheltenham, but he's still very much learning his game. And Paul Nicholls spoke afterwards and said, you know, we'll work on his jumping. I don't think he wasn't worried about it. He said his jumping isn't perfect yet, but it will be come the spring. He'll be fine. Now, I'd like to see him run again, and I'm not sure. Now, Paul Nicholls, interestingly, said he is very much in the mould of an Alfaroff or a Noland, both of whom won the Supreme under Ruby. And he said, you know, both of them are essentially stayers, but are well suited by a proper slog at 2 miles on soft ground. Now, the question is, you know, if you look back at those races, Nolan and Alfaroff have come from off the pace to win by staying both times. Faster horses in front of them, horses who maybe went a little bit too soon. You get the Q Card and Sprinter Sacra and Spirit Sun all sort of went a little bit earlier than Alfaroff, and Alfaroff outstayed them. Q Card definitely kicked on too early that day. Really, really good race that, but it was stamina that won on the day there. And very much so when Noland won, and Noland would have been a million at the top of the hill.
I thought he was too.
Yeah. and the only way you could have ridden him there was just nurse him into the race and hope that he stayed on from the last. And that's exactly what happened.
They were both flat out. Yeah. A long, long way from home. Mm.
That type of Supreme, you mentioned that small field last year.
Yeah.
Potential for small field again. Do you think, Ruby, that the fact that you need to stay way more than 2 miles, is that potentially going to be out the window?
No. Look at last year's race. Dysart Dynamo and John Bonn. Like, I mean, the rest couldn't even keep up, let alone stay. Only Constitution Hill could. Appreciate it 1 year before, and he went a strong gallop. I think with the Supreme, regardless of the number of runners, it's the first race of the festival, 70,000 people. It's 9 weeks to Cheltenham PK, and we're building it up.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Don't think the people that are riding them, training them, owning them, living with them, aren't feeling the same. And it all builds to the start in the Supreme. You ever seen the slow Supreme?
No. All right. Right.
So especially after two false starts.
The crowd roars and the pressure just goes.
Exactly. Okay. Fair enough.
So that definitely helps him if the race pans out like that. The interesting thing as well about Nichols making those comparisons is both Noland and Alfaroff ran, I think, in February. So they ran in January and February, the pair of them, and then went to the festival. I think with a horse like that, I would like to see him get more experience. Now, Paul hasn't said whether he intends to run him again. But I would be put off if he goes straight to Cheltenham. He's definitely a horse. If they're gonna sort his jumping out, I'd rather he sorted out on the track. I mean, obviously you're gonna school him. He's done loads of schooling at home anyway. But it's in a race that you learn as much as anything. So I'd like to see him have another run before he goes to Supreme. If I was going to support him in that race, and if he didn't, that would be off putting for me.
Okay, fair enough. That's Tamuris. Hopefully he runs again before the Cheltenham Festival. Ruby, you mentioned High Definition would be one of the weirdest winners of a Supreme, I think it's fair to say. But he's there, he's got his chance, or does he?
He does. I was impressed enough with him at Christmas anyway, PK. His jumping was not great, but he was in front, he was making the run, and he was having a good look. Look, beating Jatara is probably not good enough to win at Cheltenham, but I thought there was a lot to like about the way High Definition did it. But you're assuming you're going to get another look at him, but he's a high-rated flat horse. He does need to brush up on his jumping, but maybe a better race, getting a lead, will help with that. And I thought he won quite snugly. And you can't knock any horse that goes and wins first time over hurdles.
Yeah, that's fair enough. They still could be anything. You touched on Marine Nationale as well, the Royal Bond winner, potentially the hashtag straight to Cheltenham. Thoughts on him?
Before the Royal Bond, I would have said he's the kind of horse who, on a wet and windy day, wouldn't fancy the Royal Bond much.
Up at Stoke?
Yeah, exactly. It's a rainy night in February at Stoke. Because, you know, he's a good-looking horse, and he knows he's good-looking as well. And I don't know why. I always get the idea that these really, same with footballers, really, you know, fancy Dans. You always worry about whether they will dig in and whether that I think that's just a hangover from all that talk about professional footballers. But he's a horse who's clearly well-suited by good ground. He's got a sharp turn of foot. And I wondered whether he would cope with bad ground and a bit of a buffeting, you know, not just from the elements, from other runners and the in the Royal Bond, and I thought he did it very well. Obviously, he missed the last, but that was even more impressive. He was able to regather himself and win from there. The race did set up nicely enough for him to a degree with Champ Kylie pulling his way to the front and you know, having not an awful lot left for the finish. And maybe it'd be a little bit dangerous to rate the race through him, as it were. But it was still impressive. It showed that he could do it in a more difficult environment. It showed that he could handle heavy ground. I think he'll be a lot happier. You know, he'd be probably happy back in good to soft ground.
Very clear that he didn't think he'd go well at all in the heavy ground. Barry Connell, trainer.
Yeah, so he's very interesting. He definitely has a lot of class about him. And Barry Connell has obviously held him in extremely high regard. I know if Barry Connell says it's the best I've trained, you don't have an awful lot of history to go by there. But he's had some very good horses over the years, Barry, and I suspect when he says the best he's had, he's also talking about horses that he's owned that you know, well, he's trained. Or,
he's got his chance for sure.
You say Marine National going straight to Cheltenham. I think that's just a very broad statement. You look at Marine National's life. So he ran on the 28th of May. So that 2022 was his first start. So he's in training February, March and April of 2022 and runs at the end of May. He can't have had too much of June off because he would have had to have been in training for all of July and the best part of August to run on the 20th of August. He didn't have much of September off because he ran on the 12th of October and then he ran on the 4th of December. Now, to keep him going and run him again at Christmas and hope to get to Cheltenham in March would have meant Marine National was in training for over 12 months. That's a long time for any one horse to be in training. So Barry Connell, but he's liking for good ground, has altered that around. We say, oh, it's all about Cheltenham. Look at his career. It's down in front of you. Like 6 to 8 months is the ideal. 8-9 months is the ideal 9 months to have a horse in training before they need a break, switch off, rewind, charge, and go again. No different than humans. So when you look at Marine National, it's pretty much there in front of you that he was going to need a break at some stage to be able to peak again in March.
And he's got his grade one now. We'll keep an eye out for Marine National. Decision time, folks. Ruby, what wins the Supreme?
I wouldn't oppose Fast Salviga. I'm not saying there's no way I'd back him at odds on, but I definitely wouldn't be opposing him.
Yeah, and you'd think this is the race he's going to run in. Obviously, we don't know.
I would be thinking that way. Look, there's 25-1 available about Irish Point each way.
Yeah.
I think he could go there. He's a great run in the Royal Bond. He ran well behind Cham Kylie and Ace. I think for value, that's a big price.
Okay, fair enough. Rory?
Yeah, and you'd imagine he'd be happy dropping back to 2 miles.
He would,
as well.
Yeah. Strongly run 2 miles probably really suit him.
And his bumper form in France was a mile and a half, wasn't it, as well? So he'd be interested. There's a couple of interesting ones. Ile Tez Hump was another one that you'd say could become overpriced because punters tend to look at horses who can't win. And if you've been beaten by the favourite already, that tends to get pushed to the side. So I could see him becoming a decent price as long as everything goes according to plan. But as Ruby says, there's no great reason to be trying to oppose Fasal Vega at this stage just for the sake of it. Mm. I wouldn't be backing him at odds on. No one's going to be offering 6-4 now, but you're not losing out by keeping your powder dry until later. And of course, the each-way market will become a lot more interesting as well.
There's one other price, like Ruby said, Irish Points, the one that you thought might each-way...
But if we're thinking it could be a small field, like you're thinking, could you get down as far as 8-9 runners? Yeah. Would you like to have 25-1 about Irish Point? You won't be 25-1 on the day if you've got 9 runners. So just something like that.
Something like that. Okay, keep an eye on that. Right, so obviously Fasal Vega, the one to beat. No surprises there in the Supreme. Watch out. Keep an eye on those anti-post markets as ever. Now, that's the Supreme Novice hurdle sorted. A reminder, though, we're going to get straight to the Ballymore in a few seconds' time. But a reminder, we have a brand new Paddy Power Racing YouTube channel. You can watch all of these shows on that channel. Please do subscribe, like it, and comment on these particular episodes, and you'll get a chance to win yourself a nice little 50 quid free bet. So do get commenting. Get typing now, folks. Tell us how great we are, I think is fair to say. Let's talk about the Ballymore Novice Hurdle. Rory, used to be known as the Barry Bingham, I believe.
Well, its official title is the Baring Bingham.
Oh, Baring.
Yes.
Who's this person?
Baring Bingham was the bloke who, I think, bought the land for the racecourse back in the late 19th century, early 20th century, basically secured the future of Cheltenham Racecourse. So his name is commemorated in the race title that's never used.
Yeah, nobody ever uses it. Yeah, it is registered still as that. It's been dominated by Irish-trained horses, unsurprisingly, 8 of the last 9. But we have a British-trained favourite in Hermes Allen. What chance?
Well, he's got the form of the book. He's a course and distance winner. He won at Cheltenham early in the season and put up a very good jumping display from the front there. And he then backed that up by winning the Challow Hurdle in good style last time at Newbury. Of course, winning the Challow Hurdle tends to get different responses from different people for obvious reasons, I should have about to explain.
18 Challow winners have run in this race. 0 have gone on to win this race.
One should have,
yes. Denman should have.
But of course, Ruby, you deal in black and white. No should have.
Yeah, but I can also say he should have because I wrote him.
Yeah, well, you did, but he didn't, I guess.
That wasn't Denman's fault or the Challow's fault. That was my fault.
Was Paul Carby was a good ride in Nickenor.
It was, and he took a vet. The best ride usually wins the race, which was Nickenor, not Denman.
Yeah. Even if Denman had won, then people would say the curse still exists.
One of 18.
Because the Challow Hurdle wasn't run at Newbury that year. It wasn't run late December at Newbury in bad ground. It was run on the 1st of January at Cheltenham on Goodish Ground, I believe. It was before midday as well. I think at 11:50 they ran it at, I think, because it was rearranged. It was added onto the Cheltenham card.
Yeah, I worked half the money. I remember it well.
Yeah.
Half the money. Of course you remember it. Half the money. I remember it well. Oh, my God. Unbelievable. Okay, so he won the Challo, which is a bad, bad stat. But Hermes Allen, the horse, let's forget about the stat because it does mean nothing, does it?
You've got to look at it because people will, when they're looking at the race, it'll be in there. And any you pick up a festival guide or you read anyone's view on it, the Challo hurdle stat will come up. And the question is there anything or nothing in it? If you look at the horses who've won the Challo, plenty of them have gone on to be top class. Some of them have been some Challos that have been pretty poor quality, and by definition, those horses aren't going to go on and win the Ballymore because they're not good enough. But there have been horses that have been good enough to win it, and the question is whether they've been, whether winning the Challo or running on the Challo has somehow stopped them winning it. And there is, the one negative with the Challo is it does tend to be a really tough race. It tends to be run on deep grounds, 2.5 miles at Newbury in December, and horses tend to feel it. And also, there is a temptation, if you've had a really hard run at Newbury at the end of December, to then go straight to the festival to keep yourself fresh. I'm not a massive fan of that with novice hurdlers, unless they've had plenty of experience before that. So you can sort of look at that and say there are reasons why the Challo is not the ideal prep. But at the same time, if you had a horse good enough to win the Challo, should you miss the Challo to give yourself a chance of winning the Ballymore? I would say no. If you've got a horse good enough to win the Challo, it's a grade one hurdle. You take your chance on that in the first place.
Treat it like a pretense qualifier, yeah. Staying on third at the Challo.
But if you mention the horses have won the Challo and won the Supreme, and horses have won the Challo and won the Albert Bartlett. So it doesn't stop you winning at Cheltenham. And there is a little bit about this stat that's just, you know, waiting to be busted, yeah. Quite frankly. So I wouldn't get overly concerned about it. I didn't think it was as much of a slog this year as it might have been. I thought Hermes Allen was very well ridden, rather than going after Dan Skelton's mare in the race. Harry Cobden has kept him on his own and basically set his own pace. And I thought it wasn't as destructive as it might have been had it been an end-to-end gallop. And horses have come out of that. The most testing Challo I can remember was when Rev de Sivola beat Finian's Rainbow. It didn't stop either of those two. Rev de Sivola obviously turned into a proper stare, but he was only beaten a neck in the Ballymore by a horse that went on to win the Ascot Gold Cup. So you can't say that he left his race behind and ran the race of his life. So there are plenty of scenarios where Challo hurdle winners might easily have won the Ballymore, and I wouldn't be knocking Hermes Allen on that front. If I was going to be knocking Hermes Allen, is that there might be a better horse in Ireland.
Yeah, well, let's get to the Irish horses then, Ruby. Willie's won it five times. Champ Kylie, the number one?
After winning the Nace, winning the Lawlers, yeah, he probably is. He had done very little wrong till the Royal Bond, where he just ran away. He was too keen, ran away at Ballyhack and ran his race from there to the home straight. So, yeah, he was good in Nace. I think he won the Lawlers Hotel by outstaying the opposition. I think he outstayed Irish Point. And there was a couple of disappointments in behind him, being Grange Clare West, I think probably being the most notable. So, yeah, he probably is, yeah.
We talked about Facile Vega and Imperium Pass, obviously, earlier. It does look like, again, look, we're getting into Willie Mullins' head again here. This has to be the race for Jam Kylie, right? He's not going to go for the three-miler.
You wouldn't have thought so. He's a bit keen. But then you look at Willie's Ballymore winners. So Sir Gerhard, grade one winner at 2 miles. Mikael Dagenet, 5 for 3, only had the one run. Faheen, think very good horses tend to win this race. Rory, more yep. So than anything else.
Yeah, absolutely. I wouldn't disagree with that. So.
And in Perrin Pass, I know we mentioned him. If he turned up here, he's kind of a solid chance.
He does, yeah, and he's the right. He looks to have the ideal way of racing. He's relaxed. He's not keen. He's not going to over-race. That could be what you could argue about Cham Kylie, who also tends to go to his right. In Perrin Pass looks slightly more straightforward.
Fair enough. Gaelic Warrior would be a curious winner in that. Obviously, he ran, was beaten in the handicap the previous year, but he qualifies for all the novices. So, do you think he'll run in an novice hurdle, or would you reckon the team would be happy with the handicap mark? Is it 1.34?
It's 1.34.
1.34 Irish.
Yeah, Irish. Yes. So, let's go 1.39.
Might say go again, would you?
Really?
Yeah, I mean, might be.
What's his mark in the Betfair? Is that way?
Wait, they haven't published it yet.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, so no. That'll tell.
And he runs in Clonmel tomorrow, I think. Is he declared?
He's declared for it, yeah, on Tuesday.
Tuesday, so be interesting to see. I couldn't tell you. I think Stateman was given a present of a mark, and that's why Willie went there. So was St. Roy. They went county hurdles. Willie doesn't tend to he prefers novice races for novice horses more so than handicaps.
Except for the Martin Pipe, where...
Which is essentially a novice race. Anyway.
Yeah, it tends to be, doesn't it?
They all tend to be rated novice hurdle, basically, isn't it? Martin Pipe.
Okay, so Gary Guire probably going to be in a novice hurdle.
I would have thought more likely. Now, look, if he gets run over in Clonmel tomorrow, yeah. 134 look great.
In terms of Grange Clare West, coughing after the last race, I believe, in the report.
Looked to me like he wanted further, beat firm footings at Navan. He had done very little wrong prior to that in bumpers, but just looked like he wanted a good bit further to me at Nace anyway.
Okay, so not concerns about that. I think there was post-race
coughing. Yeah, he was coughing and blowing hard, but I'd say after watching the Lawlers, I'd say they were all blowing hard.
Fair enough, okay. Rory, what about, we haven't mentioned much other Irish horses. We did mention Irish Point for the Supreme, or Ruby did, yeah. And In the Pocket for Henry Bromhead. There'd be two who'd have good chances for popping up here.
Yeah, In the Pocket looked very good last time for most of the race. And obviously bypassed the last hurdle. And he would have been overtaken by Three Card Brag a yard after the line. So that's a bit of a conundrum. He was pretty impressive first time out. And he moved really, really nicely last time out. Interesting that I thought Rachel seemed very keen to challenge between horses as if she felt he was going to hang. And then when he's got to the front, he's lugged left on the run in. Three Card Brag, who would be more of a stayer anyway, then his stamina's kicked in from that point, and he's run on very strongly. I like him a lot, but I think he's probably an Albert Bartlett horse, and we'll come on to him shortly. Okay. So the finishing effort is slightly worrying there. You could argue he just idled when he got to the front. I didn't think it was quite that, and I think he would have been caught in another couple of strides. So I'd like to see him be able to put it together, but he certainly shapes like a very classy horse on his first two starts. And of course, you know, we're still looking at horses generally who've got very little experience. Yeah. He had one point run, didn't he? And he was taken out, wasn't he? But he'd be I might be confusing with another one of Henry's actually. He's short in experience, and I wouldn't want to judge him too harshly on that. But yeah, it's a little bit of a worry that he didn't go on as well as he looked like he was going to go and win 10 lengths. Okay. To be perfectly honest, and he ended up winning what, a head or a short head in the end.
Yeah, okay. What about Irish Point? I mean, Ruby did mention
Yeah,
if
Irish
he went
Point
here,
is,
would you see him here rather than the spring?
Yeah, I mean, I originally thought Ballymore, and then I watched the Lawlers of Nace back, and he looked like he was going to eat into the lead for a long way, and then on the run-in, he was then losing ground in the last 100 yards, and his bumper form was a mile and a half in France, and he doesn't really look like he's got turn of foot. That's the worry with him. He doesn't want 2.5 miles, but he doesn't have a turn of foot at two. But he definitely is more of a speed horse. So you just use him close to the front end. He's liable to be, could be overpriced. At least he's been second in two good grade ones in Ireland. So you can't really knock that kind of form. And by definition, people are always looking at, they'd rather have a maiden hurdle winner than a grade one runner up as a rule. You're always looking at the upside. This could be anything, rather than knowing something's got some limitation. So he's the kind of horse who could end up being overpriced if he rocks up on the Supreme. I think I'd rather have him in a Supreme. He'd probably run well enough in a Ballymore, but I'd be concerned about his stamina from the last in that scenario.
Such a funny race, Ruby, because it's 2.5 miles, yet we seem to get more 2-milers out of it than we do the Supreme. We seem to get more stayers. Why is that?
Supreme tends to be more of an end-to-end race. So it's pace. There's a difference between pace and speed. You have to have the pace to be able to go and stay going in the Supreme. Whereas actually to win the Ballymore, you do have to be able to change gear.
Yeah.
You have to be able to accelerate to win the Ballymore because it's not run at the same frantic pace. It's not a dash as such. You then have to change gear somewhere. Probably at the top of the hill as they quicken, and again off the home turn to win, you have to accelerate. You know, so that's probably why you end up with more champion hurdle winners coming from a Ballymore maybe than a Supreme.
Okay. Rory mentioned the kind of the maiden winners that we haven't seen since. So I'm going to throw a couple of at you who Willie has. Indiana Dream, Quai de Paris for JP and Rich Ritchie. I mean, maiden winners look very impressive.
Yeah, Quai de Paris won at Tremore. He definitely wants to go a bit further. And Indiana Dream won at Fairy House. Good performance from him as well, and he'll improve. But a bit like the horse of JP's that ran at Christmas that had won. Oh, he ran behind Facile Vega. What's his name? I'll get it now in 1 second. One name as well, beginning with I. Intranet.
Good.
Who had been impressive first time up. Quai de Paris and...
Indiana Dream.
Indiana Dream are the same. So how would they step forward from there?
You're not sure yet, next targets or anything like that?
No. Keith Dupree definitely looked like he wanted further watching him at Tremor.
Yeah, and we will, of course, get to the Albert Bartlett. Last season's winner was very lightly raced. Right, decision time, folks. The emphatic record of Ireland is under threat here, Rory. Are we Hermes Allen?
I think Hermes Allen is probably the most solid at this stage in that he's definitely got to go there.
Yeah.
And he will scare a few of the British trained runners off. And he's already set a good standard and he should do better. Again, I'd love to see him run again, but he doesn't have to. He's a very, very good jumper. There's nothing he has to work on, really. So I'd be happy if he went straight there. It wouldn't be a massive issue. So, yeah, he does look about the most solid, but you know that things are going to develop. There are a lot of... Essentially, there aren't that many in the UK who are going to come forward to challenge Hermes Allen. There could be 20 in Ireland. Yeah. Theoretically, who come on from a maiden hurdle win to impress again. And of course, Willie's got the possibility of always sticking a supreme horse in there.
He could, yeah. Ruby, put your neck on the block here for a Ballymore winner.
I think, and I have no idea, so don't read into it, but I think, for me, I think Imperial Pass. Yeah. I think the way he travels, he's showing the punch down, he has a turn of foot, he's a brilliant jumper. I think he ticks all the boxes for me. He'd be the one I'd be siding with.
Okay, Imperial Pass, watch out. Hermes Allen, obviously, from the UK. Right, that's 2 out of 3 races done. We're going to take a very short break and we'll be back with the Albert Bartlett.
Betting can add a little excitement to any sporting event.
But only if it's done safely, responsibly, and within our means.
Never gamble when angry or feeling low.
Set yourself a limit for time, money, or both.
No matter what the problem is, gambling is never.
Is never.
Never the answer.
There is always someone to talk to when you feel gambling is becoming a stress.
Check out responsiblegaming.paddypower.com.
Okay, the last novice hurdle we're going to look at is the Albert Bartlett, the 3-miler, of course. Now, Ruby, you've talked about a couple of horses you've ridden in this race that just didn't quite get there, Boston Bob and Alaho. I've been told to ask you about those two rides.
Boston Bob just didn't quite get there. Alaho was never getting there. Should have won in Boston Bob. Alaho, not so sure. Back to Punchestown and Ilindo still beat him and went back the following year and got beaten in the RSA. I think he just ran the wrong race, but that happens too. But I think it's a race that's changed over the years, PK. Mm. From a race that you did need a horse with a lot of experience, a hardened battler. I think the last couple of years have changed the race and less exposed type, probably better horses, Rory, have started winning it.
Yeah. I mean, there was a time, I think, if I don't think Willie makes many mistakes, but there was a time when, you know, Willie concentrated on the Supreme and the Ballymore, and then if he had a 2-miler that could win the Supreme, he'd happily throw it in the 3-mile race. And there were a lot of horses, a lot of promising horses, but horses who weren't ready for that kind of a battle were running in the race. And therefore, it was the horses who were hardened and who had the experience who ended up coming out on top. It's got a remarkable record over the years of horses who've been tailed off or pulled up or absolutely out the back, coming and winning future races at the festival, including Grade Ones, including Gold Cups. Yeah. But horses who just weren't ready for the Albert Bartlett at the time, and that is changing. And we've seen that, you know, a couple of times in recent years. Manila Indo came there with 2 runs under his belt. And last year, 1 run to win it, completely against all the old stats. So
the last 3 winners have changed it. Monkfish
as well, yeah.
And the nice guy last year. Could you have picked out Ruby Walsh in January, the nice guy winning the Albert Bartlett?
Probably wouldn't have picked him out in the yard. Let alone have picked him out to win the Albert Bartlett. You would have made an hurdle at Nace. No, I wouldn't have.
I don't think you'd have picked the winner of any Albert Bartlett except for Blackjack Ketchum.
That goes back
Exactly, at this stage of the season. Because you've got horses who are simply developing, who we either haven't seen or who just haven't really shone until they've been given a chance in the spring. So it's, you know, just look at the list of winners, including some absolutely top-class horses, and they just wouldn't have been front of mind at this stage of the year.
Well, you say you couldn't have picked a winner this stage of the season. A lot of people couldn't have picked winners on the day, if you look at the SPs. 5-1, the shortest SP by a mile in the last decade. Double-figure odds everywhere, 33s, 50s, the lot. So... let's look at Monkfish and the Nice Guy, Ruby. Is there any horse at this stage that you think, okay, that could be the type of horse who could develop into a 3-mile novice?
No, the Nice Guy just kept showing you more on the track than he ever showed at home. And Monkfish, did he win his novice hurdle next Sunday at Thurles? 2-6, after being beaten first time up in the maiden hurdle, he progressed to win his next couple of starts. So is there any horse that you're looking at thinking, could that be it? I suppose the high-profile horse that's in here that lost his way, that could find his way back, is American Mike. Chased home Facile Vega, last year's champion. Bumper went to Punchestown, maybe a little over the top, was only third. Beat Let's Be Clear About It, Down Royal over 2.6 in his first start, and then couldn't keep into Dawn Rising over 2.5 at Navan. He's definitely the class horse that if he was to come back, sticks out like a sore thumb here. But now, where he is or how he is, I couldn't tell you.
Well, we'll find out, perhaps, at the Dublin Racing Festival. Rory, Hidden Valley Lake is the one who tops the market at the moment. We might see him as well at the Dublin Racing Festival. He's entered for the Nathaniel Lacey Novice Hurdle. Tell us about him.
He won nicely on debut for 2 mile 3, and that form has worked out fairly well. And then he stepped up markedly in that when winning the, I think it's called the Cork Novice Hurdle, isn't it? But it was the Super Value.
Super Value are involved, yeah.
Indeed. And he was impressive there, despite making two significant errors. He came through at the end of that race and won by 8 lengths, having only taken it up at the last, or just coming to the last. So it was an impressive finishing burst from him. But I'm not sure it was quite as impressive as he was given credit for on the day. It was one of those days at Cork where the ground was quite bad. They were going around fairly slowly in the races, including in that. The favourite that day was then tailed off in the Lauders of Nace next time out. He was quite impressive, and clearly he's got a lot of improvement to do, because you know his jumping didn't really pass muster, but he was strong at the finish, suggesting that although it wasn't a true test at 3 miles, he probably would benefit from more of a test at 3 miles. So I can understand why he's favourite, but again, the issue we have with this race is if you're backing the favourite at you know, in January, you're probably on the wrong horse.
Potentially.
So you don't want to be backing any horse at sort of 11 to 2, 5 to 1 for this race at this stage. And as you said, the Nathaniel Lacey, the Golden Signet.
Don't forget to give it the proper title, Golden Signet.
That will be the most interesting race as far as the Albert Bartlett goes. You know, it's a 2 mile 6, comes at the right time of the year. Most of these 3 mile novices need to be getting experience that close to the festival to be throwing their hats in the ring. So that will tell us an awful lot. There are plenty of horses who are prominent in the market in the entries for that, including one English one, which is nice to see.
Nigel Twisted Davies says he's going to win the Gold Cup with that horse.
Indeed. Do you know what he's called? We've all been caught, I think.
We've all been caught as a name. We've been caught out by that name of that horse a few times before we started recording. But yeah,
that's and he's an interest. He's a bit of a dark one in there, just to segue into that. He was third to Hermes Allen on his hurdles debut, which is in a grade 2 at Cheltenham. I was very impressed with how he came home that day, having looked, you know, he didn't look like he'd seen a hurdle when he walked to the first and basically put the brakes on and lost a bit of ground. I was impressed with how well he hit the hill. He then won a novice hurdle at Cheltenham on New Year's Day. Wasn't as impressive then. The horse that finished second probably, you know, was a massive prize. It was probably a nice horse because he pulled a long way clear of some promising enough times in behind. The ground was very sticky and tacky that day, which didn't suit I don't think sort of the winner. And I think he's the type to come forward. Nigel Twiston Davis has said, we'll go for either the Ballymore or the Albert Bartlett. And we won't go for the Ballymore because I'm not stupid enough to run against Hermes Allen again. So it sounds very much like he's going to go for that.
Fair enough.
You know, whether he needs another year.
Honesty, don't you?
Yeah.
Whether he needs another year is the question. You know, he's your archetypal, really promising British trained Albert Bartlett horse who might just need fences to shine to show his best. He's a big unit. You know, he's a very impressive looker, but you know he's very much a chaser and looks. So it might come a little early for him. But the fact that he was able to hit the frame in a grade 2 on his hurdles debut at the track and then won at the track on his next start, that will stand to him pretty well.
He runs at the Dublin Racing Festival and beats the Irish.
That'll be a hell of a turn-up, won't
it? That one, I tell you, that would be very interesting.
It would be great, wouldn't it?
It would be good. It would be good.
You'll have Nigel Twiston Davis in Dublin for a fortnight after that, I'd imagine.
He'd be telling us he's definitely winning. He's won 2 Gold Cups if he wins that. Ruby, one of the key races for this is that Limerick Novice Hurdle around Christmas, where Martello Terror, Penn Hill, Vanillier, they all ran in it. Gordon has got a favourite.
And Vaheen.
And Vaheen, yeah. But he didn't run in the Al Bartlett. But so for the Al Bartlett, favourite. Champdu, who's also entered at Leopardstown.
Yeah, and he stayed really well on that occasion. Jumped well. That 3 miles in Limerick, tough. You're guaranteed to stay when you go to Cheltenham, having run in that race. And I thought he was a decent enough winner of it. How strong is the form? It's probably all right. We'll find out a bit more this afternoon. Let's be clear about it. Did he run in that race? Yeah.
He did,
he's favourite in Maiden Hurdles today at Punchestown. So that'll give you an indication. But I think a lot of the horses you see in this race, a lot of the form is going to be tested between now and March, and you'll have a better handle of it in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
He's very well established in terms of the form that he's shown. He's done it two or three times, and the obvious negative with him is that he's not an obvious one to jump forward by another 10 pounds on what he's shown. I wouldn't be put off if he ran and the Nathaniel Lacey and was beaten, because he'd be dropping back in trip for that. Most of them would be stepping up to 2.6 miles, whereas he's proven 3 miles in soft ground. You know, all his form is at 3 miles. So it wouldn't bother me if he ended up finishing third or fourth in the Nathaniel Lacey and then still went to that. It wouldn't.
Yeah, you don't need a string of wins behind your name to win this race. I know, obviously, Vanilli Sky last year, but you mentioned Manel Indo, who's beaten in both starts. Yeah. It can be won by maidens who are...
Well, Vanilli was tailed off in the Nathaniel Lacey and then won.
Yeah, there we go.
I know that because I napped him in the Nathaniel Lacey, so...
and I'm assuming didn't back him in the...
I didn't back him in the bolted in.
Yeah, absolutely.
He won. So, Ruby, is there any... Something from William Mullins probably is going to surprise us between now and the Albert Bartlett day itself. Go on, give us one then. Grangeclair West, could that even
is in there, yeah. Dark Raven is also in the betting. 2 mile winner at Christmas, probably be a stretch to say that he could get the trip. But I think even looking at Willie's entries, PK, in the Nathaniel Lacey, mm-hmm. not massively numerical, is it?
Yeah.
For Willie.
It's not going to be the case that Rory said where previously he's going to have the two in the Supreme and two in the... Bearing Bingham and then just throw something into the Al Bartlett.
It could happen, but I don't see it. I mean, do any of them look like real stayers? You're talking maybe Cham Kylie and Perle Pass, Gaelic Warrior. Not sure you'd be gunning to step any one of the three of those up to 3 miles. So I don't see it. Look, Seabank Bistro was ran in last year's bumper. He's disappointed a couple of times this year. So has Madman's Game. Lisnagar Fortune was second in Tremor over 2.6 in his last start. Possible, but no, I wouldn't be just bowling strong on anything of Willie's at this stage in this race.
Fair enough, but you did mention American Mike. So let's decide now, in January, what wins the Albert Bartlett, which is as easy as it is to do on the fourth day of the festival, judging by the SPs. So, Rory, go on.
Well, I'd want to have a short list of horses that I'd want to keep on side. And again, the problem with punting Anthony Post at this stage is, when you look at the number of potential runners and you look at the prices and work out the overround, there's not a huge amount of encouragement to bet Anthony Post. But I've mentioned a couple of them. Three-card Braggle threw in there again. He obviously was second in, it was at the Monksfield last time out. And... that was 2.5 miles. He looks a stayer. He's always going on at the finish of his race. He's been beaten a couple of times. But
he's one run away from qualifying for the handicaps.
Yeah, I don't think they'll want to go. I think they'll want to go...
Is he a Martin Pipers?
He could do that, but I think Max McNeil, is he? Well, he could be convinced to go down the handicap route.
I just think, to me, there's going to be so few horses with that four-runner rule in those handicaps. Yeah. So few novices... going to be qualified. I don't know. Just
what are your thoughts on that rule? I know I'm digressing here slightly. Your thoughts on that rule?
Oh, I think it's a good rule.
Yeah?
Yep.
This is basically going to take more novices away from the handicaps and keep them in novice company, essentially.
Handicappers for handicaps, novices for novices.
Even though State Man was State Man the reason this happened?
Right. Maybe he was, but sure look.
He was the straw, perhaps.
Yeah, but Willie Mullins didn't give State Man the mark.
No, I don't think he gives him his own.
But there's still a way around that as well. You still have this issue that it's a rule about for novices, they've got to have X number of runs, but you had the Coral Cup winner a few years ago who'd had the one run over hurdles. He was a winner in France as a novice, but he then didn't run here. What was his name?
Who trained it?
Paul Nichols. He won the Coral Cup from...
John Hales' colours.
Sanctuary? Yeah. No, different race.
Sonnet.
That one, look it up. It was
going to win the Gold Cup, I know that, but he didn't.
Oh, okay, all right. Isn't Davies trained at that.
But because the rule only applied to novices, he was able to run in the Coral Cup without a prep run because essentially I spoke to the handicapper about it. And they said, well, there aren't opportunities for non-novices to run in races that aren't handicaps, so you've got to allow them to do it.
Fair enough.
Okay. I can understand him being allowed in, and I can understand every horse being allowed into a handicap in theory, but... If you want to bolster the fields and novices and allow actual handicappers have a chance instead of having to create veteran series and more things like this, keep the handicaps confined to actual handicappers that aren't novices.
But if we rewind back to our chat about the Supreme, maybe we won't get such a 8-9 runner because this year's Stateman is going to run in Supreme.
And as Ruby was saying, you know, it looks like there are more horses coming through the ranks in the UK at least. So, you know, there's more depth. And when there's more depth, you'll get bigger runners.
That's what we want. Okay, Albert Bartlett winner. Give me the winner, Ruby Walsh, of the Albert Bartlett, January 16th.
I'm not mad strong on anything. American Mike looks a good price now. We could look a ridiculous price after the Dublin Racing Festival, one way or the other. I would have said the same about the Twisting Horse. I thought he's definitely an improver. We've all been caught. And I think Dawn Rising could be the other one at a big price.
Yeah.
The way he came home in Nace behind Champ Kylie. He looked to me like he wants to go further too.
Yeah, hell of a festival. Two X8 and O'Brien horses winning two novice hurdles. Rory?
Yeah, as I've said, I've mentioned We've All Been Caught and Three Card Brag. The other one I threw in there is one for the old system. We Corbett's Cross, who was a very impressive winner of a handicap the other day. Now the question is, he's now owned by Paul Byrne, trained by Eugene O'Sullivan. The question is whether he wants to go down the handicap route, which he's obviously entitled to do. But he's going to get a fair rise for winning at Ferry House on Saturday. He would be, in terms of his new rating, he would be right up there with placed horses in years gone by. So it'll be interesting to see what they want to do with him. Of course, he was ridden by Maxine O'Sullivan there, and Maxine wouldn't be able to claim if he ran in the graded race. So that might push them towards running in a handicap instead. But if they are going to run in a handicap, he wouldn't be qualified for the Pretemps, and the Coral Cup might be on the short side for him. He definitely stays 3 miles. So they might end up being forced to go for the Albert Bartlett, and he's definitely an interesting runner.
Okay, that's it for week one. Really entertaining stuff from Ruby Walsh, from Rory DeLargy. Thanks very much, gentlemen. Next week, we're going to talk about the National Hunt Chase and the Champion Bumper. Ruby rode the winner of the Champion Bumper many, many moons ago. So you're going to give us the winner of the Bumper next week, yes?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, you've given me a few answers to this particular question. Patrick, will you at least tell us who Patrick will be riding by next week? Do you think Patrick will know by next week?
No.
All will be revealed next week because Ruby's going to grill Patrick about this, hopefully. No. Anyway, by the time we get to next
he's
week.
Not
you never know. You never think.
Patrick doesn't know the answer.
A lot of water will go under so many bridges by this time next week. We hope you did enjoy week one of this series. A reminder that if you want to get involved in this particular show, you can ask us a question. Do watch these shows on the Paddy Power Racing YouTube channel. Like, comment, subscribe to that particular channel, post a question to the lads, or you can email at fthm@paddypower.com. And remember, if you do like, subscribe and comment on the YouTube channel, you'll be in the chance of winning a free 50 quid back. We'll be back at the weekend to look ahead to the regular content. What have we got this weekend, Ruby?
Paddy Power Racing YouTube channel.
I said that right. What have we got this weekend?
That's what we have this week as well.
Oh, we've got that too as well. I think we've got the Kinloch Bray, amongst other races to look at this weekend. Back for week two of our Cheltenham Countdown season series. But remember, podcast be out this Friday as well.
Chris Faheen, who's barreling clear up the hill, and he is a machine. Faheen maintains his unbeaten record, and it's a treble for Willie Mullins and Ruby Walsh. Faheen's a champion.